Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Take a shame. How you expect to hit a nigga?
All right, we are now episode 599. We are one step away from hitting 600. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. You're now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio. And big shout out to my co-host of Spirit, a lot of Sandman, Ms. Chinchilla, and T-Max. And this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Pacific, 8 Central Time, by Vinci Clothing. And, man, today's guest, one of the dopest to come out from New York City, bringing that dope energy, that Renaissance energy, here to tear with us to talk about his new projects, anything lined up in 2024 to tell us about his journey, where he's going forward, and letting it be known that New York is back in the forefront with his rap shit. So let's all welcome the Criminal God 7. What's good, brother?
Criminal God! Peace almighty.
Yeah.
Man. Pleasure having me on the show, man. Word, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir, man. This is that. I was like, man, look, this was a long time in the making, man, because number one, that record we just played right there, that automatically was like, I was like, man, this dude is bringing that energy back. You know what I mean? Like that energy that's needed from the right. City. How's the reception been for that song?
Yo, it's been great, man. I ain't been getting nothing but love from like real hip hop and just music enthusiasts all together, man. People love the energy. People love the content. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting a lot of love, man. I can't complain, man. I'm loving the whole, you know what I'm saying, the whole feedback from it all. Word.
Yes, sir, man. And going on with 2024, man, like, tell us what you got in store for 2024 for those who are already in tune with what you're doing. Like, tell us what you got going on for this year. Any projects lined up?
Right. Well, I definitely got a project lined up with one of the dopest producers out the West Coast, Architect of Law. He's the brother that actually produced the joint you just played for God's sake. So he and I got about like maybe like eight to ten joints in our back pocket right now that's fire, that we kind of just strategizing on a way to put it out and market it the right way, so we could get the best, you know, outcome from putting in this all this hard work right now. So definitely look out for a project from me and Architect Alaw. And I got a bunch of dope freestyles I just be sitting here writing every day. So look out for more mixtape material. And I got this nonprofit organization spearheaded by me and my brother Money Mel that we working on criminal guard reform. So I'm looking forward to getting that off the ground and doing some real groundwork in the community and other communities outside of mine also, because it affects everybody in what I'm doing right now.
Now, with this record, do you have any key features that people want to take note of?
I mean, you know, just the energy, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the energy that we lack in music and hip-hop right now. I know it's a lot of other things going on, and I'm not mad at it, but this energy right here, it's really come from a pure place. It really come from a positive place, to come from an authentic place. It's hip hop, you know. So I just want people to really pay attention to that and where it's coming from and how it makes you feel when you hear my music, you know.
Yes, sir, man. And how do you feel that this project compared to any of your previous? Do you feel this is your best one? Or you feel like you're just getting started?
Nah, I feel like I'm just getting started. Like, if you go to my Bandcamp discography, I got about 18, 19 projects on there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just getting started right now. People are just now kind of starting to take notice of what I'm doing. And it's dope. So I feel like the best is yet to come. Like, it ain't no limit right now. Like, I'm in the game right now, and ain't no turning back right now. Word. That's how I'm on it. Criminal God.
Yes, sir. And let's get to the beginning, though, man. Tell us about where you were from and what it was like growing up from where you was originally from.
I'm born and raised in South Jamaica, Queens, New York City. Queens always been like the underdog of New York City. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least growing up in the 80s, 90s, you know what I'm saying? Queens had to really get a lot of fight for our respect. The same way a lot of other regions in hip-hop feel like New York City didn't respect them. We felt like that as New Yorkers, and we was in Queens, you know, so we from Queens. So that's why you see a lot of Queens artists like really got the game on lock. You know what I'm saying? When Queens get in the game, we don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? So just to try to stay on point. Like, yeah, like, I just feel like as a Queens artist, it's my duty to keep elevating the game, you know? I hope I missed your question. But, oh, yeah, I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queens. I grew up rough, man. I grew up in the crack era. You know what I'm saying? I had both my parents in my crib with me, but, you know, I grew up with a lot of dysfunction around me. A lot of family members was on drugs and alcohol addiction and stuff like that. So I grew up hard. I grew up poor. I didn't have shit, like, you know what I'm saying? So I really was going to school with holes in my sneakers, that type of shit. Like, we was on welfare, standing online, like blocks of cheese, that type of shit, you know?
Yeah, and you looking at it now, man, do you see that it's improved, or do you see that it's got worse as generations arrive, like as new generations become?
You know, gentrification is real. So, you know, yeah. I'm a foundational black American, you know what I'm saying? My family came to New York City probably like in the 30s, you know what I'm saying, 40s from Augusta, Georgia and North Carolina. You know what I'm saying? So that's my roots, you know what I'm saying? So when I see like a lot of my peoples that I originally grew up around, it's not in my neighborhood. You see a lot of other different ethnicities and races coming along. It bothers me to see how it is that like we kind of been pushed out, you know, and that's why I want to kind of like bring the whole criminal guard reform. That's where it comes into play, because we got to learn how to protect ours and create for ourselves and not look for no handouts from nobody else. And that's more so the message behind my music, like taking control of your life and really grabbing a hold so nobody else could put you in a position you don't need to be in.
Yeah, I could tell by even, you know, listening to some of your records before I got on the air that, you know, you also preach that do for self philosophy. Like, how important is that for a lot of people, especially black people, to take note of that philosophy and push it forward?
You know, it's very important. Like it's we need to understand how important it is that you can't depend on your enemy to food and clothe and shelter you. And too many of us are out here doing that right now. Too many of us are sending our kids to be taught by our enemies right now. We don't even realize that. You know what I'm saying? So the cycle ain't gonna never be broken if we don't raise up our elevation of thinking as far as how we train our young men and women out here to do for themselves. And when I say do for yourself, it ain't about getting money. It's about learning. You know what I'm saying? Learn for yourself. Be a self-starter. Be a go-getter. Never wait for people. Why would people that keep you oppressed want to educate you? You know what I'm saying? So doing for yourself is critical right now, because you got so many of us as black men, and it's black people, but more so black men, we are falling to the side because everything is provided for everybody else except us. So we got to learn how to do for self and realize that at a certain point in life, ain't nobody coming to save us right now. We got to save ourselves. So that's what criminal guard really about right there, saving yourself. Because at this point in the game right now, I could have said, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? And just did bad. You know what I'm saying? But I said, nah, fuck it.
Right.
People want to see me fucked up. So I gotta fight through all that bullshit, you know what I'm saying, and rise up right now. Word.
Now, what made you find your calling in doing music? Because, you know, there's a lot of things that you coming out of Southside Jamaica, Queens, you could have been doing. You could have been, you know, involved with the drug gang. You could have been doing a lot of things in the underworld. What made you be like, man, look, music is my calling?
No, you know, I did dabble in a lot of the shit you just said. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
But I've always done music my whole life. I've been writing music since I probably was like 6-7 years old. You know what I'm saying? I've been in love with music. Music has always been around me. It's always been in my family. I've got family members that were gospel singers. You know what I'm saying? Musicians. You know,
yeah.
So it's always been around me, and the element of the streets has always been around me too. So it just took me a while to kind of figure out, like, that's the street shit is a dead end. Because when you risking your life and your freedom, and you really see the outcome ain't really worth it, you like, yo, man, like, I got to change my life. At a certain point, you start getting older. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have to be working for nobody 20 years younger than you telling you what to do when you've been through all the real shit in the world out here. So it's like, you know what? I got to just kind of, like, take this shit seriously. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of people I see that gave up or and didn't take it seriously, and now they regret it now. And I don't want to regret it. I'd rather say, listen, I gave it my best word.
As you know, you finding your voice within doing music. Like, what was some MCs that you felt inspired your style?
Oh man, I'm a fan of all the greats. That's first, like all the legends. You know what I'm saying? Going back to the Run DMCs, the LLs, you know what I'm saying, the Houdinis and the Kanes, and then, you know, the 90s, the Nas's, the Redmans, Onyx, you know, Lost Boys.
Yeah.
You know, 50 Cent, like definitely, you know what I'm saying, his whole energy influenced me a lot. Nas' whole content, his lyricism inspired me a lot. You know, even my West Coast brothers, Ice Cube, inspired me a lot. You know, my Down South brothers, Outkast, just the artistic approach, everything, you know, Tribe Called Quest. So I was definitely inspired by all the greats, you know, definitely.
Yeah, man, because, you know, you paying attention to the greats and you taking bits and pieces of what, that's what a student does in order to be advanced into the culture, because that, when you do that, you pretty much maintain your longevity, because it's like, man, I studied the great. I studied how this person did it, and I put it all together.
Word. Yeah, you got to do that. You got to show respect and pay homage, and that's the only way, like you say, you're going to have longevity. Cause it's so easy right now, especially with YouTube. That's why I don't understand these. A lot of artists right now don't know their history, because it's at the touch of a fingertip. You can go online and type in any generation, any era, any genre of music, and you're going to go, it'll take you back to the beginning if you know how to spell, even if you don't, you know, it's going to take you there, word.
Yeah.
So they should know.
Yeah, man, because you have this old thing going on with, it's still happening, believe it or not, even with ageism. Like, you feel that's still a problem within this game?
I feel like it's a problem if you let it be a problem.
Yeah.
If you know yourself, you know who you are, you believe in yourself, you got your own lane, you ain't trying to be in nobody else's lane, you ain't trying to copy nobody, it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? If you fighting to sit at a table that, you know, you don't really need to sit at, it's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? So I don't fight to be nowhere. I don't want to be at, or nobody don't want me at. You know what I'm saying? I go where I want to be at, and I make that the cool spot to be. You know what I'm saying? And anybody want to come over there after that, just come over there the right way. You know, that's how I look at the game.
Yeah, man, because I feel like we have too many voices. We too creative to be pretty much be begging to be a part of another person's table or be a part of a person's world. We can flip that shit and create our own. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could pretty much have put our own platforms, our own award shows. We don't really need them. You know what I mean? But we have that vitality issue.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what's our mentality. Like, you know, we the creators. We done created everything. You know what I'm saying? Everybody steals from us. And for some reason, we don't know how to lock in on owning and it comes from within, you know what I'm saying? It comes from being how a lot of us are raised, a lot of us are taught our beliefs on life and how we look at things and how we look at our oppressors, you know what I'm saying? Like, we looking for approval from people who are looking to steal from us. It makes no sense, you know? So it's just a crazy position, but I want to break that mold definitely right now, definitely.
Yeah, because I look at it like this, bro, like, I come from a stage, you know, we come from a stage where we thought the Source Award meant more than a Grammy. You know what I mean? That, to me, meant more than a Grammy to me.
That's a fact, yeah. Yeah, it meant way more. And just to see the people that you admired hold that in regard more than the Grammys at that time was special. You know what I'm saying? They put the middle finger up to it. Now, these a lot of people these days, they don't know their history. That's why they, like, quick to just want to be accepted. You know what I'm saying? I tell people it's just like the same thing, like in New York. They legalized weed, right? So you got Right. A lot of weed dispensaries everywhere. Now, we've been on the streets our whole lives out here getting locked up, thrown in jail, court cases, fucked up our records, can't get a job because we're selling weed on the street. Now you got these other races of people that could just come, open up a store, and sell anything to us. And they don't even smoke the weed that they selling to us. You know what I'm saying? Now, we so uneducated, we just going to go in there and buy the shit. Meanwhile, we should have been like, nah, man, fuck that. We've been locked up for years getting all this shit. Nah, support the nigga that's on the block right now. Your neighborhood hustler, support that nigga if he got the fire. Why support people who don't even fuck with you? You know what I'm saying? But we do that with everything. Right. We don't realize we fund our own demise. You know what I'm saying? We're not picking with who we spend our money with. And we got to start doing that.
And do you see that happening within the culture? Like, how do you feel the direction of hip-hop is going? Do you see it, like, evolving or you see it devolving?
It's going to evolve because you got people like me, you know what I'm saying, that's going to always push the envelope and fight forward. But as far as the I'm trying to figure out the word. As far as the nostalgia that hip-hop brought to the masses, I think it's just going to be hard to bring that to emulate that again how it used to be, because a lot of the people who listen to music, like I always say this now, like the people who listen to the music, the majority of our music are not black people. You know what I'm saying? The people who buy our music, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people have experiences from our music, but it's not a real, real experience, because they turn the music off and they can go back to being, you know, it could go back to being safe. You know what I'm saying? So when you got people who listen to your music that can pick and choose when they want to feel who you are, that's kind of weird to me. You got to understand me all the time. You know what I'm saying? You got people that grew up on hip-hop, generations of people that grew up on hip-hop. So if hip-hop was really like changing the world, wouldn't be no racism. Anybody should be able to go get a job because some white guy's grandfather, at this point, father grew up on hip-hop. His father grew up on hip-hop. But you still got issues out here. So if you grew up on hip-hop, why is there an issue out here? Should be no issue out here. So let me know that the people that listen to hip-hop ain't really feeling us how they need to be feeling us. That's just my point of view, you know?
Yeah, it kind of feels like to me, and this is just my personal opinion about it. It feels like to me that even a lot of the artists today are disconnected from their audience.
They are. They are. Good. I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Yeah, they very disconnected because, and I made a video about this the other day. I was saying that we ain't caring about no Grammy. You know what I'm saying? We out here fighting. We like, y'all should be in the front lines with us talking about lowering the prices so that way the people that support your music go for your music. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. And you know what it is? A lot of black artists are disconnected with the real black experience. They disconnected from their history. And that's the problem right now. It's like these are not the black people that from yesterday, from back in the day. It's like these black people now, they have no idea of what happened before. So their minds are not like, they're not tapped into the shit they need to be tapped into. And like they like to talk about a vibe, but the vibe they're giving off don't last. You know what I'm saying? We create real feeling and real energy that's gone. As soon as another person tap in, it's going to spark them to be great. That's not the energy that they putting out right now. It's a real low vibrational energy. But like I said, I'm just hoping that with growth, they can elevate. That's all.
Right. Yeah, man. And on top of that, too, because I was thinking about this myself, like, listen to guys like you and listen to 38 Special and Ransom, you guys are keeping that playing field elevated. Griselda too. I gotta mention Griselda as well. You guys are keeping that New York playing field bubbling.
Man, I'm honored to be named in those category with those brothers, man. Those are all great artists, man. Nothing but respect and salute to them for real, man. So thank you for even, you know what I'm saying, even putting me in that category for real. I'm just going to keep this shit going because I already know this something right here, what I'm doing, ain't never been done. You know, I'm making history right now, and that's all I really want to do is make history for real and definitely make some money, too, at the same time.
For real. Now, you're dealing with the business now, the business aspect of things, which is a headache considered for many people. Like, are you dealing with it on the independent scale, or are you looking to get on a major soon?
You know what? That's a good question. Like, I'm independent right now, of course. Like, everything is just, you know, coming out of pocket, and, you know, I'm learning as I go along. I feel like I got everything set up in place right now as far as I feel like I got a brand that's solid. You know, I feel like all my business and everything is set up. It's just the marketing, you know what I'm saying? There's so many people out here to reach, and you want to reach them in the right way, in a decent, a nice time, you know what I'm saying? You know, we the gods. We want to be swift and changeable, so I got to be able to move with the algorithm, as they say out here, and control it, you know what I'm saying? So maybe a major might put me on another level, you know, if that situation comes and it makes sense, you know what I'm saying? I'll definitely consider it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not ruling nothing out right now. But my thing right now is just building my stock, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I got a long way to go. I'm not one of those artists that's content right now that I got a couple of songs and a couple, you know what I'm saying, people saying my name. Nah, I really got to put on right now, and this is personal. I got to prove something to myself. This ain't about nobody else. This ain't even about hip-hop. This is about me proving something to myself. It just so happened that I'm using hip-hop as that vehicle to prove it to myself. So that's what it's really all about for me.
And have social media played a good role in elevating your brand?
Most definitely. I appreciate social media, specifically Instagram, a hell of a lot, because I don't know if it was the Instagram or social media I'd have been able to showcase my talents the way I do. You know, it took me a while to kind of figure it out. I'm from the, you know what I'm saying, I'm from the hood. I'm a street dude. I've been involved in a lot of, you know what I'm saying, street shit. So, and I'm a personal dude myself, you know what I'm saying? I'm not with the clown shit. I don't get online and do stupid shit to get likes and views. So it took me a while to kind of make sure I had the right approach, so people could know I'm something that's authentic, you know what I'm saying. So once I kind of figured it out, and I had the work ethic behind it, you know what I'm saying. It took time, like some people give up, but Instagram, social media altogether has definitely played a big part in getting my name out there and people recognizing my craft and my scalability work.
Yeah, man, because people don't understand the work that went into it back in the day. You had to be boots down everywhere you went.
Street things. Everywhere you went.
And they
flyers everywhere, stickers. Yeah, shit was real.
Yeah, them flyers, the merch. You had to get a pressing plant to hang your product out.
Yeah,
there. Man, it cost.
This definitely ain't the hearts, man. Like, you can't be weak. Like, there's a lot of ups and downs. It's an emotional roller coaster. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lose a lot of money. But you're investing in yourself, so you can't even take it as a loss. As soon as you take it as a loss, you know what I'm saying, it's going to start to calculate different for you in your mind, whether you're winning or losing. You know, so I say look at it as an investment. Everything you do for yourself is just, you know, take your time and don't rush, man. You know, some people right now, like, social media make them feel like they gotta be stars tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And that shit, it don't work like that, for real.
Yeah, man, because I think what happened too, that's the cons of social media. Like, it put a lot of, I say peer pressure, man, because people go through peer pressure in different stages. It happens in different forms of the mentality. It happens with artists even, because they be like, man, look, he ain't meeting the certain strings with that, so you got to do this clown shit to meet those type of strings to get your attention. It's a lot of peer pressure.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's why you got to really know who you are. You got to have knowledge of yourself. And that's why a lot of these record labels, they don't want to really sign, you know, maybe mature or older artists, because they know they can't manipulate them the way they could do a lot of younger artists, you know. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. So that's why it's always good to have somebody on your team that's going to advise you the right way how to move out here, because you're dealing with a lot of money. You know, you're dealing with a lot of different characteristics and people. So you got to know how to manage that at the same time and do your music, you know.
Yeah, let people know what's the importance behind having a solid team.
Oh man, that's the foundation. Like you gotta have somebody in your corner that believe in you, you know. And everybody don't always have that, you know. Sometimes you gotta be your own team, and if you don't have your own team, you gotta be smart enough to put the right team together, and that takes money, you know what I'm saying. You gotta pay for what you need, but it's very important. You got somebody for emotional and spiritual support, because you're going to go through life, you know what I'm saying? Life kicks your ass more than anything. I don't know, you might be mad, you might have kids, you might have health issues, you might be trying to, you know, your issues at your job, you got to go to work, you know, you got housing, you got all type of shit, you know what I'm saying? School, whatever. So, you know, your parents getting older, you know, shit like that. You're going through baby mama drama. Everything we go through, you know what I'm saying? So, It's important to have somebody there for you, because a lot of people do just give up and say, you know what I'm saying, like, fuck it. Like, this shit ain't, I can't do this shit no more. And it's unfortunate when somebody give up on their dream and they really talented at it. So that's why it's good to have somebody to kind of be in your corner and kind of keep you motivated, you know. But you got to be self-motivated also, you know what I'm saying. These days I wake up, you know, ain't nobody in my ear saying, yo, criminal guard, write the next fire shit. I gotta hype myself up, you know. That come from within. That don't come from nobody on the outside, you know. So everything you do gotta come from within, you know. If there's any external motivation, you know what I'm saying, it ain't really real, you know. So do it from your heart, you know. Definitely.
Yeah, and the main thing too is to not have any yes men in the circle, because the yes man, if anything, could do more harm to your career than evolve your career.
Yeah, you gotta have, can't have no clowns in your circle, definitely. Yeah, you know, people got hidden agendas, so you gotta make sure you got the right people in your ear. My support system is my brother, Money Mel. You probably see him in a lot of my videos. Probably hear me saying his name in my music, but that's my brother, my blood brother. You know, we damn near twins. We a year apart, you know, so he's always been there my whole life. So to have somebody that's been there your whole life with you, you know, except for 1 year you was born, that's incredible. So people that got brothers and siblings, like, it could be beautiful if you can get on the same page and do business together, because it's hard to trust people out here. So just for me to have my brother in my support system and be the rock, you know what I'm saying, I can lean on when times got hard, that was beautiful for me, and I definitely appreciate that in my life right there. So it's good to have a support system, definitely.
Now, facts, brother. I was gonna shoot this to you too, man. What's the importance of having stage presence as an MC?
Oh, that's very important. You know, you gotta, you're still putting on a show at the end of the day. People paid or didn't pay. You know what I'm saying? Either way, it's a reflection on you. You know, so you gotta make sure you want to be remembered. You know, you wanna stand out. You wanna have a certain type of aura about you that people recognize, you know what I'm saying, no matter where you go. And when you on stage, that's your you know, that's basically your movie right there. Yeah, you got a movie to make, and you need to put on the best possible performance that you can, and a part of that is being prepared. You know what I'm saying? As an MC, I hate when I see artists do shows and they rapping over the vocal tracks. You know, I think that sounds bad. You know what I'm saying? It just shows me what level you at as an artist. And sometimes you got artists that are at a great level, and for whatever reason they do it. You know, I try not to pick it apart too much. It could be laziness. It could be unpreparedness. It could have just been at the spur of the moment. They just popped up, and maybe the DJ didn't have their thing. But you know, for the most part, you could tell which artists do that on a regular basis, and which artists just, you know, it just happened to happen at that moment. But your stage presence is important, man. It's your calling card. You know, you don't get a second chance to make first impressions. You got to remember that, definitely.
Right. Right. And this is one of the heavy topics that's been going on here now. Like, what are your thoughts about ghostwriting? Like, if you find out that a legit rapper had a ghostwriter, do you feel that takes away his credibility as an artist?
I mean, like, I've never let nobody write my rhymes, not even a hook, not even, like, nothing. You know, this is a music business at the end of the day. I just wouldn't respect an artist that's running around screaming at the top of the world, "I write my own lyrics," and then you find out they don't write their own lyrics. You know what I'm saying? If somebody penned a verse or, you know, for a song or collaboration, you know, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Let it be known. I don't think it's nothing that
right.
can be looked down upon. Like I said, it's business, but just be able to, like, you know, specify to the fans and to the real hip-hoppers what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember the first time I heard Still Dre by Dr. Dre. Immediately, I knew that Jay-Z wrote that rhyme. Because I'm just a hip hop, you know, connoisseur like that. Nobody had to. I was fighting people, telling people, "Yo, this is Jay-Z." No. I said, "This is Jay-Z, son." And then when everybody found out, I'm like, "Yeah, bro. Like, y'all late to the game. Like, I knew it the first day I heard it when it came out. That was Jay-Z." You know, so it's a business, and it's also great when other artists could work together from different regions and do shit like that. I thought that was dope that Jay-Z wrote that verse for Dr. Dre. That was dope for me. I wish they was doing shit like that before the East Coast and West Coast, you know what I'm saying, fake beef was going on. You know, fake real beef, whatever, you know what I'm saying? You know, that probably would have saved a lot of people's lives, you know what I'm saying, people doing shit like that. But, you know, I don't look at nobody differently. Just, you know, I would hate to hear one of my top MCs say somebody wrote his rhyme, you know, but at the end of the day, man, it's a business. I respect the business, too.
Yeah, because you can automatically tell, you know, being a student of the game, you can pretty much automatically tell who's written. Like, I remember when I heard, and this is obvious, because, you know, he admitted it. I remember when Fat Joe, he was saying some crazy shit. He said, "Joey Craig, blow the sun out the Zodiac." I'm like, "Nah, that's pun." You know what I'm saying? That's pun. Hey, no, I ain't never heard Joe rap that, ever.
Word, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have people around you. I'll never forget, like, I ain't even going to say the artist's name. I was in a session with an artist. And, you know, you be in sessions and people will be like, "Yo, you got something for this? You got something for this?" And sometimes you kind of just waiting to see who got what. But I usually be like, "Nah, I got something." You know what I'm saying? And And I remember one time I said to an artist, "Yo, say the hook like this." And he gave me a look like, "Nigga, you say the hook. I'm not saying no hook you wrote." You know what I'm saying? So I respected his pin game. You know what I'm saying? But he saw immediately that I was ready to, like, give direction. Like, "My nigga, here, say it like this." You know what I'm saying? And I didn't think it would have took nothing away from the song or him being an MC. I just thought it would have been dope. He had the you know what I'm saying, the confidence to collab with me like that, because I was doing the group thing in the beginning for years. You know what I'm saying? So I know how it is to be in a group. You know what I'm saying? Your man might say the hook first, and then you might say the hook in the end. You know what I'm saying? So I know how that shit works, but some people look at it differently, but I get it.
Yeah, it all depends, though. Like, if you're somebody like Jermaine Dupri or Diddy or Dre, or, you know, girls, those guys ain't really, like, considered top-tier rappers anyway. They're considered, like, moguls. That happens to rap.
Yeah.
So you got niggas in that top five, and you find out they on that Barry Bonds, not the Barry Bonds, they find they on that Mark McGuire playing. You like, man, this is messed up, man.
Hell yeah. You know they are. You know they are. Word.
Like, your whole, make your whole heart sink. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you guys. The game is, I mean, it's the game that got more interesting. You know what I'm saying? I think it got more fierce. You know, you just got to learn how to move out here. That's all.
Is it, being an MC, you feel that the atmosphere is very competitive now than it was before?
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, it's only as competitive as you want to make it. You know what I'm saying? You got the ability now to call somebody out right now. You know what I'm saying? And they will hear it in a second. You know, so if you want to turn the heat up, you can turn the heat up. If you want to ride, you know what I'm saying? You want to ride the cool, you know, the laid back wave, you can ride that wave. You know what I'm saying? But it's really all about being consistent. That's really what I see it's all about right now, just being consistent. If you got a great work ethic and you know how to build good relationships with people, I think you'll be all right. You know, if you want to compete, you're only competing with your last hit, I guess. You know what I'm saying? So, but as far as like on some, I got to get at somebody. I mean, like I said, it's up to you, you know, but we got a whole battle rap for that. So that's a beautiful thing right there in itself.
Yeah. Cause you know, sometimes swords sharp as swords and, you know, steel sharp as steel. And that's good. Cause I wish I could see that in modern sport. Cause everybody's buddy buddy and shit, man. Like, niggas get dunked on, and instead of leaving them on the floor, they picking them up. Like, leave that man on the floor.
Yeah, you know, when you, a lot of these dudes are making a lot of money, man. So, you know, it's like they picking and choosing, and I get it, because this is like a real finicky hip hop era right now. One minute you hot, one minute you not. You know, so
right.
I can see if an artist got a nice light on them, you know, why would they just open the door for somebody to destroy that and put themselves in a bad situation? So they kind of just play it safe. And that kind of just, you know, that kind of leaves the culture in a place of, you know, it's kind of like it's a compromise now. You know what I'm saying? Anytime money is involved, you got to question the integrity of something. You know, especially when you look at the background of a person and they morals and integrity, you know. So, you know, you got to be on point, that's all. Be on point and aware. And, I mean, it depends on what you're looking for in the game, you know. I saw something today where I saw something, a video somebody put up, and the dude was like, yo, he didn't listen to Killer Mike. So he said, fuck it, he listened to Killer Mike. He a younger guy. He said he didn't like Killer Mike songs. He said, listen, I just want to hear a vibe. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to learn nothing. So it's just, let me know, it got to be a balance as an artist. And you know, I mean, that, a lot of people could take offense to that shit, but I took it for what it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, it got to be a balance. You know what I'm saying? And everything ain't for everybody either. So, you know, fuck it.
Yeah, a lot of different strokes for different folks, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And plus, Killer Mike, I think, what's his name? He played a smart on that end because he didn't want to, they were expecting people to, you know, be like Joe Budden to tear his head off. But he looking at it like, man, look, I don't want the Grammys. I'm about to go in and expand my base a little bit.
Yeah, why not, man? Get that paper, man. It's a big-ass world out here, man. Why cut yourself short for what? You know what I'm saying? To prove something to a couple of people who really don't mean nothing. You know what I'm saying?
And they ain't going to buy it. They ain't going to even stream it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I salute everybody that's, you know, just chasing their dreams right now, just being focused, because it's just so hard to be focused on any one thing right now. So if you focus on anything right now that's pushing you forward, I salute you, because there's so many distractions out here, for real.
Yeah, man. And what keeps your creativity at its apex, man? Because there's some times when people just feel like, looking into the game from the wine site, you just want to be like, man, I want to throw this in the tape, throw this under the bus, man. It's too much bitch ass that's going on out here, man. But does this give you, like, the way this world is painted, does it give you, like, a mission?
You know what? Like, I live my life like it's 1987. In 1987, I got on my bike. I went outside. It was all type of shit going on around me that I just couldn't pay attention to, just so I could enjoy myself as a child. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't sitting there watching the news. I don't care what's going on with these politicians. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just going within myself. That keeps me creative. You know what I'm saying? Tapping into my youth, you know, the things I grew up. You know, I grew up watching He-Man and Thundercats and G.I. Joe and Transformers and Knight Rider and, you know, shit like that. And the type of documentaries I watched, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. You know, most of my family is from the Nation of Gods and Earths. We're all 5%ers. So, you know, you're dealing with a lot of math and mathematics and education and just knowledge yourself. So all that within itself right there, that keeps me motivated, because I know where I came from. I couldn't have been here. You know what I'm saying? I could have been out of this shit a long time ago, either behind bars or dead. You know, because I put myself in some stupid-ass situations just for thinking I was, you know what I'm saying, going to get some bread or get some money and come out of my situation. All it did was set me back. So I had to tap into my inner self and my foundation with my family, you know what I'm saying, my roots, you know what I'm saying. Every time I go down south, no matter, I'm born and raised in New York, but I've been going down south since I was a kid, every summer with my grandparents. So every time I go down there, they're like, listen, don't forget this is your home. So when people tell me that let me know that I'm fighting for something that's more. You know, I got something more that's on my back. You know what I'm saying? I got a culture that's on my back. You know what I'm saying? I got people that love me. I got 3 children that I want to leave a legacy behind, because a lot of us as black men, our legacies get destroyed by the women that we choose to have children by. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that don't happen. I want to make sure my children, you know what I'm saying, even if their mothers keeping them from me, you know what I'm saying, which they do and have done and continue to do. At least they know their father was doing something productive while mommy was keeping them from me. You know what I'm saying? Daddy was out here being great. You know what I'm saying? Daddy was out here putting that work in, you know what I'm saying, making sure that his name could never be shitted on, no matter what they mother say in a courthouse or make up to a police officer or say to the white man. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to make sure that's important and people understand that. Like, we as black men got to make sure we got to leave a real legacy behind us. We can't let this shit take us down. Never. I don't care how old you get. I don't care what you're going through. Don't never give up fighting. Don't never give up believing in yourself, for real.
Big facts, man. And, you know, we probably about to wrap this thing up, man, because I know you got things to take care of, man. But thank you again for being a part of this impromptu interview. We're going to definitely have it posted up on the YouTube this weekend. And we're gonna put this out here, man. So we were trying to make this thing happen since last year. So it was great to have you on.
No, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And pardon me for the wait, you know what I'm saying? But I hope it was worth it, man. I had a great time this interview, brother. It was a pleasure, man.
Yes,
and I appreciate what you're doing for the culture, man. Thank you, word.
Thank you, man. And just letting people know, I'm letting you know, man, that we're going to be celebrating episode 600 next Sunday, man. So if you got time, just call up and just show love, bro.
Oh, definitely, man. You already know. Send me the time and date, and I'll definitely do that, man. Criminal Guard always support, man, for real. Thank you.
For sure, and man.
Congratulations on the episode.
Thanks, man. And also big shout out to T-Max, man, because without him, this thing wouldn't have been possible, man. Big shout out to Fleetwood, all the people that came along the way to make this possible, man. So We're definitely going to see you guys next Sunday. Thank you once again for joining us, man.
Criminal God, salute. The black man is God. Let's get it. Off the Cuff Radio. Love y'all. Word. Thank you.
We out.